Praise ye the Lord, and to Jesus be all the glory forever and ever. I want to welcome you to today's episode on divine inspiration, and I'll be speaking on Be Zealous, part number 2. By the grace of God, in my last episode, I dealt with the topic Be Zealous, part number 1. On this episode, I'll continue from where we stopped on Be Zealous, part number 2. And our Bible reading again today is taken from Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea in verse number chapter 3 of Revelation and verse number 19. He says here, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chastain. Be zealous therefore and repent. Be zealous therefore and repent." In my last episode, I mentioned to us that the God of heaven wants us to be zealous. Jesus admonished the church to be zealous, not to be passive, not to be quiet, but to be zealous, not to be at ease in Zion, but to be zealous. The word zeal, like I defined, means fervor. It means ardent. It means fire. The word zeal means to be on fire, to be fervent in the spirit. That's the meaning of the word zeal. We looked at examples like Stephen of old, a man full of the Holy Spirit. He was called to be a deacon, but in the process of discharging his duty as a deacon, the zeal of the Lord had eaten him up. And, you know, he used the platform of his office as a deacon to preach the gospel, to declare the word of God, to preach the gospel to those he had contact with. Dear friend, the Almighty God wants us to be clothed with zeal, to be clad with zeal. In the book of Isaiah chapter 59, being zealous is to be like God. When you are zealous, then you are taking the exact nature, the character, the nature of God. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 17, Isaiah 59 verse 17, the Bible says, "For he puts on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He puts on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." This was talking about God. This scripture describes the Almighty God. He says he puts on righteousness as breastplate. And by the time he was finishing in verse 17, he says he was clad with zeal as with a cloak. The Bible says in John 2 verse 17, Jesus said, "The zeal of your house has eaten me up. The zeal of your house has consumed me." God wants every of his children to be zealous. He wants us to be ardent, to be fervent in the spirit. In the book of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12 to 13, the Bible talks about one Epaphras, a fellow soldier of Paul, a man of prayer, a man of passion, a man who loved God intimately and loved the church and loved the brethren. The Bible, Paul was reporting about Epaphras. It says he labored in prayers for you all. He had great zeal, great zeal. The zeal of Epaphras was not just zeal, but it was a great zeal. So zeal has measures also. A man can have zeal and a man can have great zeal. Epaphras had great zeal for God, great zeal for the church, great zeal for the people of God. You know that it was actually zeal that made people like Paul to become radical. When he was so radical, when he was in the world, when he was a Pharisee, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 6, the Bible says when Paul began to give his a CV, you know, when he was still a persecutor of the church, when he was still going after believers to kill them, he says, "I was a Pharisee of Pharisees." Concerning zeal, Philippians 3:6, he said, "Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church." In other words, the measure of the zeal of Paul was seen in his persecution of the church. So Paul was zealous, but negatively zealous when he was still a Pharisee. He says in Philippians 3:6, he said, when it comes to zeal, he says, my qualification is that I was a persecutor of the church when it comes to zeal. And let's even take a look at what he did when he was zealous in the negative, in persecuting the church. He took a trip, a long trip from Jerusalem to the place called Antioch. And you know, he was on his way to Antioch, he was on his way to Damascus in Syria to persecute the church. The Bible says, while he was on his way, as he approached Damascus, the Bible declares that Jesus showed up. Now, the point I want to make here is the fact that Paul traveled all the way from Jerusalem and was on his way to Damascus. That would have taken him several days. That would have taken him several weeks. It was a journey of weeks, you know, from Jerusalem to Damascus. That was a long distance, very long distance from Jerusalem to Damascus. And the scripture tells us he was on his way, on his mission to persecute the church. And that's why he said in Philippians 3:6, he says, when it comes to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. Now, zeal is when a man is zealous, when a people are zealous, they risk their lives for God's sake. When you are zealous for God, you will take certain risks for the sake of God. You will go certain distance for Christ's sake, for the kingdom's sake, for your love for God's sake. That is zeal. Paul said, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. So it was zeal that made Paul, of a Saul of Tarsus, to travel from Jerusalem to Damascus. Not to go and get a job, not to go for leisure, not to go on picnic, not to go on holidays. It was zeal that made him travel from Jerusalem to Damascus, not to go and get a million-dollar contract, but just to persecute the church, to arrest the Christians and jail them. He was zealous in the religion of the Pharisee. He was zealous as a Pharisee, and that zeal drove him to travel that distance, paid the price. He risked his life. He didn't care what happens. And when he got saved, when he came to Christ, that zeal became positive. The same zeal became positive, and in fact, it became greater zeal. And that's why you hear Paul, when the Bible tells us in the book of Acts of Apostles, the prophet Agabus said to Paul, that thus saith the Holy Ghost to the man that owns this belt, so shall the Jews bind you and deliver you up to be killed if you go to Jerusalem. And when Paul heard it, and the people heard it, they began to dissuade him from traveling to Jerusalem to preach. They said, oh no, Paul. And people were literally crying. And they were saying, please, we still need you for a longer time. Don't go to Jerusalem because of this prophecy. You know what Paul said? His response was, what do you do? Do you mean to break my heart by your weeping and crying? And then he said to them outrightly, he said, I am not only ready to be bound, but I'm ready to die for the sake of the gospel. That's a man who is clothed with zeal. That's a man who is eaten by the zeal of the house of the Lord. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, he said, be zealous therefore and repent. Be zealous. As many as I love are chastised. He says, look, the church in Laodicea, they had money, they had wealth, they had connection. They were friendly with the government of the day. You know, they romanced with the government of the day. They had abundance of breakthrough technology. They had money. They had cars. They had property. They have land. They have the state-of-the-art technology in their churches. You know, the church in Laodicea. But the only thing that was missing was zeal. They had no zeal. And Jesus said, repent, repent, repent. As many as I love are chastised. That's in verse 19 of Revelation chapter 3. It says, repent therefore and be zealous. You lack zeal. In these last days, God wants his children, his church, to be clothed with zeal, to be baptized with zeal. When you see people who are zealous for God, they risk their lives for God's sake. And in fact, most of those people who say, if I perish, I perish, they eventually don't perish. God comes to their rescue. God intervenes for them. When Paul said, I'm not only going to die in Jerusalem, I'm not only going to Jerusalem to be bound, but I'm ready to die also. Did he die in Jerusalem? He did not die. Though he was delivered up to prison, but you know, he lived for many years after that. Many more years. He went to Rome. He testified about Jesus in Rome. He went to Malta. He testified about Jesus in Malta. You know, he was zealous for God. I pray God will consume us with his zeal. The zeal of the Lord will eat us up and consume us. Look at Daniel. Daniel was told not to pray to any God. In Daniel chapter number 6, he was told not to pray to any God. And the Bible tells us that after he listened to the petition, after Daniel read the law and all that would be done to those who praise to that God, He left that place and went to his house. And when it was time for him to pray, he opened up his windows and faced Jerusalem and began to pray. And as he prayed, he was on fire for God. Then his adversaries came and they indicted him. They reported him and he was jailed, so to speak. He was thrown into lions then. Did he die? He didn't die. God intervened on his behalf. Be zealous for God, dear friend. People who are zealous take risk for the sake of God. They take risk for the kingdom of God. Another thing you notice about those who are zealous for God, they use opportunities as platforms to advance God's word and kingdom. Look at Paul in Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to 34, and also in Acts chapter 24 and Acts chapter 26. Paul was brought before the King Agrippa, and then he began to talk. He was brought to witness. He was brought before King Agrippa for a defense. And he began to speak before King Agrippa. And before you knew it, he was sharing his testimony. He was already preaching to King Agrippa. To the point where King Agrippa said, "You almost converted me to Christianity." And Paul said, "That's not only my wish. I wish that all those who listen to me today will be converted to Christianity. We know the Lord Jesus Christ." So it was a platform they gave him to make his defense. But he turned that platform into a preaching platform to convert souls. How do we know those who are zealous for God? You see them converting birthday occasions to a platform to preach the gospel, wedding occasions to platform to preaching the gospel. They convert wakekeeping occasions, burial occasions, any opportunity they have to do public speaking in a social function. They will leave out talking about Jesus Christ. That's a sign to know those who are zealous for God. What is zeal? Zeal means fervency. It means ardent. It means to be on fire. Like Stephen, like I mentioned. Like Paul, like I mentioned. There's no opportunity to give Paul in those days. Opportunity for him to make a defense. Opportunity for Paul to say something, either in a social function or in a discussion. He will end it up by preaching the gospel. He will end it up by talking about Jesus Christ. That's a sign of zealous people. Dear friend, in that your place of work, in your college, in your university, in your family, among your friends, do people know you are a Christian? Have you used the platform of the opportunities and the platforms you have to present Jesus, to preach the word of God, to present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or you are still living like a rabbit in a cave or in a hole? God wants us to be zealous for him. The sign of true zeal is that we will hate what God hates and love what God loves. I remember this. There's a heavyweight boxer. I can't remember his name. You know, anytime he comes to the ring to fight, and after his fight, the media will come with their mic to interview him and to give him opportunity to speak. The first thing he says is, "I want to give glory to my Lord Jesus Christ, who has enabled me to fight this in this particular tournament." And then you see him talking about Christ, and then he now comes back to comment on the boxing match. I mean, that's a man who has zeal for the Lord. He converts every platform to talk about Christ. I know some other sports people who, when they have won a medal or whatever, and then they give them opportunity to speak in to the media and to the people, they will first of all present the Lord Jesus Christ, give glory to God, and talk about Christ, their Savior. Those are people whose zeal has not been eroded because of popularity. They are people that they became so popular. They are known all over the world. Before they were known, they were zealous for God. But now that they are known, they are popular, they are famous, they have allowed the enemy to pocket that zeal. And they are no longer zealous for God. They are afraid and they are ashamed to declare the Lordship of Jesus, to talk about Jesus, to talk about his kingdom, to talk about his saving power. Today, I want to encourage you, dear friend. God wants us to be zealous. He says, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And I also want to use the opportunity to say to you that there are people who are truly zealous for God. They hate what God hates, and they love what God loves. An example is Phineas. In the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 1 to verse 13. Book of Numbers 25, chapter 25, verse 1 to verse 13. If you look at that story, the children of Israel began to commit harlotry, fornication, adultery with the children, with the daughters of Midian. And you know, they seduced them and they began to sleep with them, sexual perversion. among the men of Israel and the women of Midian. And God was angry. And while Moses was addressing the situation, one young man brought a Midianite woman in the presence of the assembly when they were still rebuking the others. He went in and started sleeping with her and doing all the stuff. Suddenly, Phinehas got up in anger, went after that Israelite man and killed him and the lady that he brought. And the Bible says, and God was impressed. And God said, made a pronouncement in Numbers 25, verse 1 to 13. He says, because Phinehas was zealous with the zeal of the Lord, therefore I make a covenant of peace with him. I make a covenant of peace with him and with his generation forever. Dear friend, it is my prayer that today God will baptize you with the zeal of the house of the Lord. May God keep you and preserve you until I come your way again. This is Evangelist Gwe Gashita saying, remain blessed and be zealous for the Lord in Jesus' name.